Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. The Knicks, man, they are just driving me nuts. As I'm enjoying watching the Kansas City Royals get rolled over by your New York Yankees, as we're watching the comeback of the New York Mets, a walk from Marte, a double from Soto, who is looking like he's back on track, huh? Home run the other way, gets the double. Should have been a single. I mean, they played it into a double, but still, it's a big hit to come through. And then Pete Alonso does what he does all year. Laces one off the wall. The Mets come back. Diaz looks like back to 2022 Diaz, which is probably as big a factor for this team as anything else, considering how good the starting pitching is. Griffin Canning, not his best day, but, you know, what'd he do? 5 2/3 with 4 runs. It's not a good start for him, but certainly gave the Mets an opportunity to win. The Yankees pound Judge with the 469-foot home run, which was just, you know, one of those majestic shots. And you know what? It's true. And speaking of Michael, Mike Francesa, who broke the news of Chris Finch being denied access to the New York Knicks, he was talking about the consistency. I saw a clip, you know, they put out of him talking about the consistency of Judge. And then I just heard Marco play that cut from Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone's right. Like, if you've watched Aaron Judge this year, as amazing as this year is, right, and the hitting 400 and you know, it's consistency. Last year, after he was awful in April, he got incredibly hot. And he was hitting home runs at crazy numbers, and he was having, like, Judge really, believe it or not, amazingly enough, I think Aaron Boone's right there. Like, he's just been good from the jump. He's just been, I mean, really good, but it's never felt like he's just been on one of those tears where he's going to hit 5 or 6 home runs in 4 games or something. Like, he hasn't really been on a tear at all this year. He just hasn't slumped either. He has been steady, hitting 390, you know, hitting a home run every, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 games, whatever, on pace. He's like, but it's just been a steady thing from Aaron Judge. He has not gotten cold at all, and he hasn't really gotten that hot at all. He has just been steadily, unbelievably solid and good. It's what he is this year. I mean, it's crazy what he's doing. It's just absolute consistency. And we'll see if he ever goes on a tear, what kind of numbers he could put up. But they bounce back off of losing 2 to the Red Sox and have a very convincing offensive performance. We'll get into Wells. We'll get into DJ. We'll get into the Mets. And we'll get into the decision Mendoza made. And I want to compare it to Aaron Boone and how one guy gets lauded for the decision and one guy gets killed for it. 888-808-1019. But still, your Nick calls on a morning that, you know, it's been Nick heavy. I've done a ton of Knicks here. Every day there's another story. And I know, and I say this, we react to stuff. I get it. We're reactionary in these things. This is what The Fan is. I do the show every day. I do 6 shows a week now when you include the Saturday show. So, like, I react to stuff. You have to. It's what we do. And I want to see it play out, but I'm losing faith in the plan. I don't know how you couldn't be. They fire Tibbs. Okay, fine. The players didn't want him. Okay, fine. He has a history of building up a certain level and then can't get over the hump. Fine. He didn't play his bench. Okay. He didn't make offensive adjustments. Okay. That's fine. All good and well. I yelled about that. I'm done yelling about the firing of Tibbs. But when you fire a coach of that level of success, you have to have a plan. You have to explain to me, to the fans, how this move is going to make us better. It's not just that Tibbs had to go because he's dragging us down. It's that, yes, it's been wonderful. It's been great. But this team can reach another level. And we need the right head coach to bring us to that next level. That's what this firing is. This firing isn't, oh my God, we had to get rid of this guy. He's killing us. I mean, back-to-back 50-win seasons and only in Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, he's absolutely killing us. That's not what this is. This guy's done an incredible job, but we feel like we could be even better. And this is a window to win a championship, and we have to take advantage of that. And I feel like we could even do a little bit better than what we've done. And I think there's another coach out there who can take us to that level. That's what you're selling me on. You're not selling me on, hey, it was time for a change. Look at what's going on. Time for a change. That's not what we're selling. We're selling there's another level in this team, and we're going to find the guy who can get it out of this group. And the response to that is to just go door to door and ask teams if they're willing to trade their head coach. That's our response to, we're going to get this team over the hump. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed right now. And I felt like for the first time in forever, I could put my embarrassment of the Knicks away. I could lock it up in the closet. I had no fear of being embarrassed by the Knicks anymore. They fired the coach, and a week later, I'm embarrassed. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jeff in Fort Lee. What's up, Jeff?
Chris?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Chris, can you hear me?
Yeah, I certainly can. How are you?
I've been better. I just wanted to say that, you know, before I get into my Nick coaching points, I heard that Frances also was in favor of Giambi taking over for Tez.
You had to do it. There was something in you. You heard Frances's name. You're like, I'm doing it. I don't care. I don't care if he hangs up on me. I'm doing the Giambi joke one way or the other. Good for you.
Or it could be Inge. It could be Brandon Inge. I don't know. Either way.
Or Al Albuquerque. Or McCullough.
I miss those days.
Yeah, no.
Those were the days, Chris. You mentioned
Clutherness. Yeah.
I don't actually know. I'll look that up on YouTube later. But I was actually outside the Garden. I was in the game, but I was outside after they beat the Celtics for Game 6.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I was going to come home alive. It was scary, but it was also exciting to see so many people revel. And it kind of felt like a championship celebration that we kind of knew as Knicks fans we weren't going to win the championship. So that was our way of celebrating. But, you know, this reminds me of what you're talking about, going back to the crappy days. It kind of reminds me of George Costanza. Do you remember Seinfeld, where he's like, Costanza goes, I feel like my old self again, inadequate, insecure, paranoid, neurotic. It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
And that's how we are. Like, would it surprise you if somehow we hired Jeff Hornacek again or Isaiah Thomas or even... Or just as a goof, why don't we just bring in, what's his name? Not Luke. Luke Walton.
His name has been thrown. Luke Walton's name has been thrown around. Because he's been a good assistant head coach, and he started really hot that one year filling in for Kerr with the Golden State Warriors. I don't disagree with you. That wouldn't excite me. And thank you for the call, Jeff. And I appreciate trying to bring a little levity to the situation. No, I don't think they're going to hire Jeff Hornacek again. I don't think they're going to hire Isaiah Thomas. I don't think they're going to bring back Mike D'Antoni. I don't think they're... Although, we're looking for an offensive guru, right?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't, it could be Walton. I don't know. At this point, it could be anyone. I have no idea. He didn't do such a good job when he was given the chance to run a team, but we'll see. But that's where we are. We are there now. We're there where, and nothing would surprise me, barring Jeff Hornacek.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly what it feels like. And look, that's probably overreaction because I do think the team is still good and the talent on this roster should get them to a level no matter who the head coach is. It should. I don't know. And how is Jalen Brunson feeling about all this? Like, that's a huge component of this. His father's on the staff. Like, how is he feeling about the idea they fired his coach and now we're out here just begging for coaches to come here? And everybody's telling him no. It's hard to fathom being happy with this plan right now. That's it. You might have thought Tibbs needed to go. You might have thought the team needed a new vision, new voice. The players didn't want him. It was the right decision. Fine. But you can't be happy with how they've handled looking for the next head coach. You can't be happy with the plan they're presenting us. The plan is literally no plan. The plan is literally just targeting good head coaches who have contracts and just saying, hey, would you talk to us? Like, it's embarrassing. Don in Fort Lee. What's up, Don?
Hi, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Thanks. So I have a few points regarding the tip situation, if you just let me just air them out. Sure. So the first one is I agree 100% with you. You can't let this guy go in that manner without having a plan. It makes no sense whatsoever. They were just reacting to a frustrating series against Indiana without thinking of the consequences, I think. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I didn't know you wanted. Was that a question? I didn't hear you.
I agree with you that they.
Yeah.
It was very short-minded to let him go. Right. I thought it was ridiculous to let him go without a plan. I agree 100%. It made no sense.
Yep.
And the thing, I just came from the Villanova reunion over the weekend, and a lot of the alumni, almost all of them, have fallen in love with the Knicks team. Even guys that were like from Philly area, from the Boston area, they now root for the Knicks,
right?
Because of the Nova Knicks.
Sure.
And every single person would love nothing more than to Jay Wright to come, you know, to take the position.
Of course.
But I talk to people that actually know Jay, and you know they don't think it's something that he wants to do because he was a traditional college coach, and it would just be a big change, you know, to coach these guys making $50 million.
Publicly, it's kind of already been ruled out. I mean, he's kind of already made it clear. It feels like the Knicks have made it clear that he's not a candidate. It's not going to happen. I only throw his name out just to say where if that changed for whatever reason. While they're doing all this searching, like you can search for guys and then land the home run hire. Like many people, like you mentioned, well, not just Villanova fans, because of that Villanova connection, because of Jay Wright's college success, because of how well we know him, the idea of hiring Jay Wright to be the next head coach would be viewed by many. I'm sure some would think it's a disaster and stupid and foolish, but that's just with every hire. But it would be viewed as like the home run hire. It would be viewed as the uber successful coach coming back to work with his guys, and he's a stabilizing force. He's a great head coach. That would be a home run hire. Danny Hurley would be considered by many to be a home run hire, a big name. The Lakers are willing to throw millions and millions of dollars at him to come be the next head coach. He's won championships in college. He comes from the background, his father, his brother, the name Hurley. Like, that would be a home run hire. There's other guys who would be, you know, even Malone won an NBA championship. You can play this game and ask this team and that team, and then if you come out and still come out smelling like a rose, pun intended, if you end up with the home run hire, if you end up trading for Spoelstra, that's a home run hire, and I'm not going to quibble about the nonsense while you were asking Houston and Minnesota. But if you're going to play this game, and thank you for the call, if you're going to play this game,
right. If
you're going to play this game and ask all of these other teams for their coach, and then give me the longtime assistant or the young kid with no experience, now I have a problem because you can't tell me that you are out begging for experienced head coaches to give away second round picks for, and then ultimately, but this was the best decision for the franchise by hiring the no name head coach. Like that was
just
my point about re-bringing up Jay Wright. All right, go ahead. Yeah, one more.
Yeah. So the other thing. So today, BT and Sal had Meta World Peace on. They were had an interview with him, and they would love to have him because they're such a pro St. John's guy, BT. But And he would scare me a little bit because he was such a volatile player. I just, you know, he was a little crazy at times.
Yeah, and thank you for the call. He would want Meta World Peace to be the head coach of the Knicks. I don't, yeah. That's not something that would be on my radar. Not, to, I mean, he's a St. John's guy, tough-nosed player, no doubt. I don't know if I would hire him to be the head coach, but again, the plan has to be better than this. And you can, and my only point about bringing up Jay Wright again, because you were talking about Jay Wright. Jay Wright's kind of been ruled out. He's not going to be the next head coach. But my point was, you can do all this, and I'll forgive it, or I'll move on from it, if you go get the home run hire. Then it's a home run hire, and it doesn't matter what you did before. It could still be a failure, I suppose. It's not impossible that it fails. But if you go get the big name, one of the big names that were presented immediately after the firing, or have been bandied about before Tibbs even was fired. Like, if you go, like, Malone, once he was let go in Denver, there was a portion of the fan base like, hey, listen, if you're going to fire Tibbs, Malone's a good hire. Or, you know, Jay Wright has clearly, since it's been the Villanova connection here with the Knicks, obviously he's been a name where if you ever move on from Tibbs, Jay Wright would be the guy. Or, you know. So if you go, Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the NBA, and it feels like maybe time has run out in Miami, or Evans even brought up Kerr. Like, if you end up trading for Steve Kerr and getting him to be the next head coach of the Knicks, I don't care how many doors you knocked on until you got to that one, then you hit the home run higher, and I won't give a damn about the idea that you tried to get Chris Finch out of Minnesota and was told no, or Ime Udoka out of Houston and were told no. If you knock on enough doors and then get me, if I'm killing you for knocking on all these doors, but it leads to Kerr, well, then that's a slam dunk, and that's an easy one. And then we're all thrilled, and no one cares about the process. But if you hire a run-of-the-mill coach, if you just go get, you know, Bryant now, which is the popular assistant coach name that you're hearing, you go do that after all this, I'm going to have a real tough time with it. John in Far Rockaway. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, sir? I'm right with you. I really don't get it. Aside from firing Tibbs, I've accepted that. But now you're going to every team like, please, sir, can I have a coach? I mean, I don't get it. But what could the players have possibly said in the team exit interviews that made them say, we need to fire Thibodeau? Because this coaching search leads me to believe that there was stuff said in these exit interviews that made James Dolan think, I'm going to have a revolt on my hands if this man is back in this locker room. Because that's the only thing that could possibly make sense. But instead of just rehashing that point over and over, let's throw out some names. I think we need to start looking up either Budenholzer, Lawrence Frank, or Frank Vogel, because those are the only three names that I could possibly think of that might be able to lend experience, a different voice, and championship experience. Two of them have won a title. One of them has made NBA finals before. Mm-hmm. I think those are the only directions that I would go in. I know Malone won't take the job. I've heard reports that Mike Malone is not a candidate, whether it's the Knicks saying it or Malone saying it. I heard he's not a candidate at all, which I don't understand, but that's what I'm hearing. So if that's the case, then I'd say it's either Frank Vogel, Budenholzer, or somebody go find out what Lawrence Frank is doing. I'm going to hang up and hear what you got to say about that. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you for making it. I don't know. I mean, look, Vogel obviously won a championship with the Lakers. That would be a championship head coach. I mean, there was a lot of things swirling about him as a quality, about him as a head coach while he was winning. It's ended, kind of ugly in different places. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't know. At this point, it's just, Like, you know, it's funny because I was thinking about Brett, you know, of course I'm thinking about Brett in Long Island. Brett's like, well, who do you want? And I'm like, I can't keep up. Like, who do I want? I said I want Jay Wright. Then he gets eliminated. Then I said I want Jason Kidd. Now he's eliminated. I got to come up with a new head coach that I want for the Knicks every day. Like, it's just, at this point, I'm done speculating about who it could be. Like, we've done this long enough. They're going to make a hire. I'd rather make it look like they had a freaking plan. And when they hire, I'll discuss how I feel about the hire. But I've given two different coaches. I wanted Jay Wright. He's eliminated. I wanted, early on, I said I would Malone would be a very good hire. He's been eliminated. Then I said, go get Jason Kidd. I want Jason Kidd. Now he's been eliminated. I can't keep up and bringing up all these names. Like, at this point, I probably think it's best to just hire Johnny Bryant. But I'd want to do it now as opposed to keeping up this charade of looking for the slam dunk coach. That's not going to happen. And in the meantime, you're diminishing the value, you're diminishing the power, for lack of a better term, you're diminishing what Johnny Bryant would mean to this fan base and inside the organization by every day that you mess around begging other franchises for their head coach. It's just an ugly situation with the Knicks. And all under the guise of Tibbs had to go. Tibbs didn't have to go. He didn't. Whatever you want, Tibbs did not have to go. They chose to let him go because they feel the team could be better. You got to show me the better coach or the better fit if you're going to do that. And right now, I don't know how, whoever they hire, you can explain to me how this is the better.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fit.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 328. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. We've talked, obviously, a lot about the New York Knicks and their coaching search. If you haven't heard, the New York Knicks, the news that came out today after a couple of days of heavy speculation about Jason Kidd, it came out earlier today that it felt like people around the league and around the Dallas Mavericks were getting the impression that they were not going to allow Jason Kidd to leave, despite the Knicks yet even having to have asked the Dallas Mavericks whether or not they could talk to Jason Kidd. Perception is that when that happens, the Mavericks will say no. That was earlier in the day. Then we get a report from Francesa to start it off that they asked Minnesota if they could talk to Chris Finch, their head coach, and Minnesota denied the opportunity to talk to him. And then later, Ian Begley and Shams report that you could add Ime Udoka to that list, the current Houston Rockets head coach. So the Knicks haven't yet asked for Dallas, and then Shams later reports that and confirms that earlier report that Dallas intends to say no if indeed they are asked by the New York Knicks to talk to Jason Kidd. So no Jason Kidd, and they're asking Minnesota for their coach, they're asking Houston for their coach and been denied, and right now the Knicks have zero plan for their next head coach, and it's extremely, extremely infuriating. And it felt like a once stable organization is now left to hope that another franchise is going to find a way to let their head coach go. It's just, it's very, very frustrating. Very, very frustrating to be a Knick fan right now after the, and where we were to where we are now is such a different dynamic. The heights, the excitement, the biggest ticket, and like we were talking about how much ticket prices were going for these games and beating the Celtics and back from 20 points down. I mean, stealing the ball, not even allowing shots in the last possessions with a lead. Like, it was just everything that happened in that Boston series, to follow it up with the ugliness that was the Pacers series, followed up with the shock that was firing Tibbs, and now following it up with absolutely zero plan to replace him, is just mind-numbingly frustrating for a Knick fan. And it's just brutal. But let's turn to things that are a little bit happier. As both of our baseball teams, that's right, both of our baseball teams get a victory last night. The Yankees pound the Kansas City Royals 10-2. Judge hits one of the furthest home runs you'll ever see in your life. We'll get into a little bit more with them because there's a conversation about Wells, who drives in five runs in this game and hits a three-run home run off a lefty. And also DJ LeMahieu. But I want to get into something with the Mets, because obviously the Mets last night have a really impressive win. Griffin Canning, who has really been incredible for this team. Maybe a down start against the White Sox a few starts ago, but bounced right back and had a great win his last turn. He has been, to me, Exhibit A of the unbelievable success of this pitching lab. And he gives them a, you know, a subpar start where he gives up four runs. Let me get the box score real quick, exactly how many. In 5 1/3, he gives up four runs on seven hits. He gives up two home runs. Abrams, at the top has a monster day with three hits, drives in two, home run, double. And the Mets are behind pretty much all game. And you get Soto to have the home run. That gets them closer. And then in the eighth inning, with two outs, they get a walk from Marte. They get the big hit from Soto, and then they get another one that gets by the outfielder, scores Marte, puts Soto at second base, and then Pete Alonso, who is just on fire and comes through in every big situation, puts one off the wall. He's out trying to turn it into a double, but ties the game. Diaz comes in. He completely shuts down the team. He's been incredible, Diaz. He has looked every bit as the best closer in baseball that he was in 22. And then Jeff McNeil with the first pitch of the bottom of the 10th wins it for the Mets. They have now won four consecutive games. They are beating up on the teams they need to beat up on. Washington's a good little team. They actually have a better record than the Atlanta Braves. And that's a good win to start a homestand here. And they have been uber successful at home. They've beaten up on the teams they have to beat up on. They've extended their division lead to five over the Phillies, who lost last night again. So the Mets right now in cruise control. Soto heating up. Alonso continuing to do what he does and leading the world in RBIs and probably leading MVP voting as of right now for the National League. The Mets pitching has still been great. The bullpen was great. And the team has a really impressive come-from-behind win. They are never out of it. You really get that feeling with this team that, like, they're not going to lose this game. Like, they really are starting to feel that, despite the idea that they still have struggled and struggled mightily with runners in scoring position. There is just a belief that this team is going to find a way to win the game. There is just a belief. You can feel it. The vibes are different than last year. It's less of a party atmosphere, I would say. I don't know if that's fair or not. You tell me, Met fans, 888-808-1019. The vibes are a little different. Last year was the OMG and the grimace, and it felt not forced or contrived, because those things were absolutely natural. Like, no, you know, the grimace throwing out the first pitch didn't have to lead to anything. It's not like that was forced or contrived or fake, and obviously the OMG was a legit thing. I'm not saying that, but this is less of the gimmicky nature and more of just the good vibes with this group. And clearly, Pete Alonso has so much to do with it. Like, for all the talk I have about him being a little goofy and a little bit of a doofus, which he just is, but he's your doof. And he's the Mets, you know, goofy guy. But clearly, when he is leading the team like this, and him and Lindor are leading the team like this, and Soto's coming around, but like specifically him, because Pete last year was kind of taking a back seat, right? He was never clutch, even though having a down year with still pretty good numbers for most people's down years. That's a pretty good down year. But still, was brutal in the clutch, didn't come through in the big situation, was wearing his free agency on his face, you know, and it was OMG, and it was Lindor, and it was some of the role players coming through and having big-time seasons, and Vientos really taking over in the second half of the season into the playoffs. And now they're getting more of the natural vibe just based on Pete, the polar bear, the best offensive player homegrown in the franchise's history, arguably, as he's about to pass, has already passed David Wright in home runs. He's going to pass Darryl Strawberry in home runs. Like what he's doing right now in coming through in almost every single clutch situation. It's almost like Marte gets that walk and you know who's coming up next. And you just assume the Mets are going to find a way to win this game. And you know the bullpen's going to shut them down. And the vibes are excellent for this Met team who have, I believe, more wins than anyone in baseball. I'm not sure if it's... I know the Tigers have a better record, but I'm not sure if they have more wins. I'll look, but I know they have the most wins in the National League, a 5-game lead over the hapless Philadelphia Phillies, and this division is in comfortable place right now, and they really don't have many holes as you look over the team. They really don't. Like, if you have to, like... What's the biggest issue? Like, you could point to the Yankees, and look, I'm very happy as a Yankee fan with how they're playing. I am. I know some people are, you know, the season ended with the loss to the Red Sox on Sunday night. I think they're ridiculous, and we'll get more into that. But I can point to clear holes with the New York Yankees. I think the Yankees are good. I think the Yankees can win a championship. I think the Yankees are the best team in the American League. Their bullpen's an issue right now without Weaver. Right? I think the lineup's pretty good, but they don't have that right-handed bat, third base. You know, and we'll see about DJ LeMahieu at second base now. But that that other infield piece, that you know, the bottom of the lineup a little bit. You know, some guys coming back to earth off of great seasons, but mainly the bullpen. You can point to the back end of the rotation right now. Who is Ryan Yarbrough exactly? Is he the guy who made good four starts in a row, or is he the guy who got pounded against the Boston Red Sox? Will Warren, a rookie. Like, the bottom of the rotation, the bullpen, there's, like, holes you could point to with the New York Yankees. With the Mets, there's not a ton of holes as you look at this team. If McNeil, who is, I've been critical of McNeil, I mean, if he's going to hit the way he's hit with the power, I mean, his OPS, like, what's McNeil's OPS in the 900s right now? 891. Jeff McNeil has an OPS of 891. He has two hits in this game. He comes through with the game-winning RBI. He had a couple of home runs against Colorado. Like, if he is going to be this impact bat that he was a few years ago when winning the batting title, that changes the dynamic of this team. As much as Pete Alonso does, as much as Juan Soto does, as much as Lindor does, you start to go through these role players. Like, yeah, you're not getting the Vientos you got last year. We'll see when he comes back from injury. Beatty has stepped up. Mauricio, Acuna, some different elements to this team. Still lacking a little bit in center field. Obviously, Taylor has done a nice job a lot of the season. You got Siri coming back. You've got options, but McNeil changes what the bottom of this lineup is right now with the way Garrett's pitching. Buteau has been better as of late. Diaz is arguably as good as he's ever been. And when he's that, he's the best closer in baseball. Like, it's hard to point to a direct flaw that the Mets have right now as a team. You have to admit, right now, the Mets are playing excellent baseball. Yeah, they've been doing it against bad teams. I don't care. I really don't. The Nationals aren't that bad. They beat the Dodgers. They split a series with the Dodgers and won a series earlier in the year against the Dodgers. So they have as good a record as anybody with against teams over 500. But when they see bad teams, they win. When they're behind, despite still not being, you know, hitting on all cylinders as far as runners in scoring position, they get just enough. They come through with the clutch hits, and their bullpen's good enough to keep them there and keep it close and save games, and their starting rotation keeps them in every single game. It is a excellent time right now for the Mets. They are in cruise control. But I want to point to something real quick because I have fun with it, because there's a situation in this game that I've been arguing with people about for the last couple of days with the New York Yankees. In this game, in the top of the eighth inning, the New York Mets are down 4-2. They have two runners on. The Nationals have two runners on. I believe it was a double and a walk. Please, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But they have two runners on. They're down 4-2. And the manager goes to the newly acquired, hasn't pitched in a few years, let alone for the Mets, Justin Garza. In the eighth inning, down only two runs to the Nationals, with Juan Soto and Pete Alonso batting fourth and fifth in the next inning, and you know they'll come up in the ninth as well, if need be. Two runs. And he doesn't just go to a lesser profile reliever or not one of his top guys to keep it close. He goes to the newly acquired pitcher who hasn't pitched in years, down only two in the eighth inning. And of course, Justin Garza does the job, gets out of it. The Mets come back, and that is pointed to as I'm watching the postgame. Todd Zeal gives Justin Garza the zeal of approval. And I'm watching them talk to Mendoza and what made you go to him there and how good. And that's a turning point in the game that Justin Garza comes in and gets through the final two outs of the eighth inning with runners on, clinging to a two-run deficit against the Washington Nationals. The Mets had the day off yesterday. They have everybody available to them in the bullpen. Everybody's available to them. He pitched Buddo earlier in the game, but other than that, you could have went to Garrett there to keep a two-run game, a two-run game. You could have went in a bunch of different directions with guys who have actually pitched for the Mets, who've been successful for the Mets. He could have used one of his top guys. They were off yesterday. They had every opportunity to use one of their top guys to keep a game close in a two-run deficit in the eighth inning. Instead, he goes to not only his lowest arm in the bullpen, a guy who literally has not pitched in years. And nobody says a word. In fact, because he got the outs, it's the turning point of the game and one of the great decisions from this manager. Now, I rewind to Saturday night with the New York Yankees, and Aaron Boone, with a one-run deficit in the ninth, goes to Ian Hamilton to start an inning against the bottom of the Red Sox order. An Ian Hamilton who was great for them out of the bullpen last year. An Ian Hamilton who has built up equity with the New York Yankees. Hasn't been great this year, but has built up equity with the New York Yankees and how he's pitched over the last couple of seasons. He's not the worst. De Los Santos is the worst arm or the least low guy on the totem pole with this team. He goes to Ian Hamilton, gives up runs, and the fan base loses it. And Aaron Boone is an idiot. And this is the most critical moment of the game to keep it at one run. You have to do whatever you can to keep it to one run. And Boone's a moron and an idiot for not using a high leverage reliever that he used the night before and would lose him for the next day. But he's an idiot for bringing in that guy. But when Mendoza, with a two-run deficit in the eighth, brings in someone who hasn't pitched in 2 years, I don't hear a peep. It was a smart move. Why would you go to your high-end relievers down two runs? It's strictly based on two things. What we get mad about is based on two things. One, did it work? And two, do we like the manager? That's it. We don't like Boone, and it didn't work. Idiot. If Garza gave up a three-run home run, everyone would say, hey, not our night. Not our night. We're down two runs. You know, this kid hasn't pitched in a while. Gave up a three-run home run. But because Mendoza is the toast of the town, Mendoza's done an incredible job with this team. I agree. Nobody would say a word. But Boone, who led the team to the World Series and will be managing the American League All-Star game, he's believed to be an idiot with the bullpen, so we kill him for doing the exact same thing. I had to just bring that up. Had to. considering I was arguing with everybody from Sean Marash to everybody on Twitter over the last couple of days about how Aaron Boone was an idiot for going to Ian Hamilton. The Mets do the exact same thing 2 days later, and they're praised for it. Because everybody loves Stearns, everybody loves the owner, everybody loves Mendoza, so we don't get critical of him. Everybody hates Brian Cashman, everybody hates Hal Steinbrenner, everybody hates Aaron Boone, so we kill him for it. Did it work? Do we like him? That's how we make decisions on who we're critical of. 888-808-1019, we'll get to the Yankees after the break, we'll get to Wells, and we'll get to DJ LeMahieu. Because at some point, we got to be honest with ourselves, at some point, we have to wonder if this DJ LeMahieu is for real. Because I've watched him play. The numbers aren't absolutely spectacular, but I think over his last 6 or 7 games, he does have an OPS around 1,000. And you watch the games, he's driving the baseball. Is DJ LeMahieu the answer? At second base, do the Yankees need to make a trade for another right-handed infielder? At what point, how many games, how long do we have to see DJ LeMahieu play well before we feel confident about it? Actually, we're going to take Stuart in Brooklyn real quick before the break, then we'll get to the break. What's up, Stu?
C-Mac. Good morning, C-Mac. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Let's go first with the Knicks. They've become a laughable organization. It's just so funny. They keep going to every team. Are you going to let your coach go? Are you going to let your coach go? Come on. This is Dolan. Oh, I would say 7.0. I've seen this so many times with the Knicks going to teams trying to get their coach. And what happens? They look like a laughing stock. Yep. It's ridiculous with what they do. And they can't. And you think teams are going to let their coach go if they don't want them go because Dolan comes knocking on the door? No. They don't like that. And Dolan's become a buffoon once again. We thought we had stabilization with Leon Rose. And we thought Dolan calmed down. But once they beat the Celtics, he got all hepped up. And you thought, well, here, we're going to be the greatest thing since French toast. And then what happened? They didn't play well. They lost to Indiana. And I hope to God the Thunder beat the Pacers, because if the Pacers beat the Thunder, that's gonna smack them even more.
Yeah, no.
I mean, and getting to the Yankees.
Yeah.
Real quick, everybody's complimenting Mendy. Mendy's a good manager. Yes. Why I've given up on knocking Boone. I gave up. Why? Because he's proven me a lot of times wrong. And the thing is, you gotta leave it alone. It's only June, and we have to see what happens in October. October is the main thing that they have to come through.
Completely.
And he has to be a better manager in October.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I mean, they got to win in October. And thank you for the call, Stu.
Yeah.
I thought he had an incredible American League postseason. Like we say, he's got to be better. We're basing that on one decision. We're basing it on one decision, and I know for many of you, it is a huge, you know, moronic decision. And I think you can argue that bringing in Nestor Cortez in that situation was dead wrong. You absolutely could. I understand it more than most, but it is clearly a very second-guessable move. There is no doubt. But other than that, look at what he did, you know. Like, and people always ask me, well, okay, so say Boone doesn't lose the games I say he loses. Well, when's the last time Boone won a game? And I go, I don't know. Everybody wanted, and I know you go through the rest of the playoffs and he wasn't very good. Who knows what Dominguez would have been? But everyone says, well, why didn't we start Dominguez over Verdugo in the playoffs? Why would he go with Verdugo? Verdugo gets the game-winning hit in game one against Kansas City. He also had to maneuver first base with Rizzo having a broken finger right before the playoffs. And whether he played Cabrera or what's his name from Miami, the John Birdie at first base, everyone he played at first base made great plays, got hits. Like, he completely outmanaged Kansas City and vote in Cleveland as he was continuing to pitch to Giancarlo Stanton over and over again. I thought Boone was clearly the better manager in both of those series. And then you get to the World Series, and he made one decision that many people think is the worst decision ever. I don't. It's certainly one you can question. I'm not saying it's not. I understood it because you have to get out Otani and then you have to get out Betts, or at least that's how you have to view it. And Hill isn't good against right-handed pitchers. I believe, you know, Betts had bad numbers against Nestor Cortez, who's a starting pitcher and was more comfortable getting out right-handed hitters. And he got Otani to pop up. But you can absolutely question whether or not he should have went to Tim Hill. It's a fair, more than fair second guess. But outside of that one decision in the World Series, which, you know, other than the shot, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? I get it. They lost the World Series based, and that game was huge. I'm not trying to deny it, but I thought he had an overall very good postseason. I thought he, after losing Clay, after taking Clay Holmes out of the closer role, he could have easily just moved on from him. Everybody and their mother wanted him to stop pitching him in high leverage situations. Everybody wanted him to just, people telling me Clay Holmes shouldn't be on the postseason roster, and then he goes out and gives you 9 scoreless innings in the postseason, eating up some of the biggest outs in the 6th and 7th inning of the entire games in the postseason. So I think he did a really good job in the postseason. I do. He made one questionable decision that cost him a game. 888-808-1019. Hector in the Bronx. What's up, Hector?
Hey, Seaman. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
All right. I don't know if he was comparing what the Mets did with their pitcher and what's going on now with the Yankees, but my issue with Boone is with his decision-making with the bullpen. It seems he has the same issue every season. Like last year, it was Clay Holmes, and this year, it's Ian Hamilton. Like, he keeps trusting the guy that continues to give up runs. Like, Ian Hamilton comes in and gives up runs every game, and then I don't mind having him.
Huh? He had three scoreless appearances before this last one the other night against Boston, but okay. Hasn't been good.
You know what I mean? And I don't mind if we're losing by 4 or winning by 4, but to bring him in when we're rallying back and to put him in that situation, I think it's a mistake.
Who should we bring in?
Like, well, we had other arms that was available at the time.
That's okay.
The guy from Milwaukee League guy.
Devin Williams, the closer, Devin Williams.
Yeah.
Devin Williams pitched Friday night. If you pitch him in that spot Saturday night, you don't have him for Sunday. Do you want to bring in your closer to keep a deficit? Do you want to bring in your closer where if he comes in and gets the outs and does the job, you still lose the game? Is that what you want? And then not have him for Sunday to possibly hold on to a lead?
But Ian Hamilton came in twice and he had runs during that.
I don't care. You cannot go to high leverage relievers and then lose him for the next day. You can. And when did Ian Hamilton come in and give up runs twice? He didn't. He gave up runs the one time.
Game one.
I don't think he pitched game one. No, they went to Cruz and. They went to Leiter, Cruz, and then Williams in game one. No. The last three appearances prior to that game Saturday, Ian Hamilton. And thank you for the call. I'm gonna let you go. You're a little noisy there. The last three appearances before that, Ian Hamilton didn't give up a run. That's the bullpen. Ian Hamilton is in the bullpen. If you think they should go to high leverage relievers to save a loss or to keep losing, I don't agree with you. It's not done, and the proof is Mendoza didn't do it either. Mendoza was coming off an off day. The bullpen was completely rested. He's down 2 runs. He's got the best hitters in his lineup coming up either the next inning or in the 9th. If one man gets on, Soto's coming up in the next inning. They're down 2 runs to the Nationals. What'd he do? He threw a pitcher who hasn't pitched in years. He didn't bring in Reed Garrett. He didn't bring in Stanek. He didn't bring in Barazaban. He didn't bring in his top guys. He could have. He could have brought in any of those guys who have pitched for the Mets this year. Any of them. to protect the two-run deficit and keep the game close. Any of them, with runners on, no less. He went to a man who hasn't pitched for them yet and hasn't pitched in general in years in the major leagues. That's what you do when you're losing. You need outs in your bullpen. You can't waste your top-end guys, and especially Cruz or Williams would have been, and Jonathan Loaisiga, that's the other guy who pitched Friday, Jonathan Loaisiga. If you throw Loaisiga in that spot, you throw Cruz in that spot, or you throw Williams in that spot, for a bullpen that's already down their closer in Weaver, you lose any one of them for Sunday, when you might have an opportunity to close out a win. I know what happened, and they didn't close out a win, and you know they were losing in that game as well, but I don't have a crystal ball. Boone doesn't have a crystal ball. He's got to make sure he's available, his guys that close out games that protect wins are available for Sunday. You don't like it because Ian Hamilton gave up runs and nobody's complaining about Garza because he didn't. That's it. The decision's exactly the same. One manager gets applauded for it. One manager gets killed for it. They did the exact same thing. They brought in the bottom of their bullpen, late game situation, close game. And you could argue that it would have been even better for Mendoza because the bullpen was fresh when three top guys pitched for the Yankees the night before. We're mad they lost to the Red Sox, so we have to blame someone, and Boone's the easy target.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.